So one of the things I really am hoping through the summer as we engage with some of the way culture points to Christ is to give you the ability to have conversations about your faith with people about things that culture shows. And I was just going to show this clip, but it dawned on me, I didn't actually know about this clip because I don't have little kids, so I don't see little kid movies anymore. But a friend of mine that has little kids is the one that recommended this to me. How many of you have heard of the movie Finding Dory? How many of you have grandkids that have watched Finding Dory? Okay. So, you know, I love this scene because this scene immediately brought forward to me one of the parables that Christ will share. So we will watch a clip from Finding Dory.
Hello, I'm
Dory!
Oh, my baby! Let me look at you! I'm never letting you go again!
My amazing girl, you're here!
My it's baby. You!
Yes!
Really, oh, you!
Absolutely.
Mom, you're actually here! You're...
I am!
And Dad, so are you!
Right here, Kelpcake!
I'm so sorry!
Oh, honey!
What?
Oh, honey, no, Kelpcake!
I know I've got a problem. I know I'm so sorry and all this time I wanted to fix it, and I can't, and then
oh,
I try, but my thoughts, they leave my head, and ideas change, and I've forgotten you, and I'm so sorry.
Dory, don't you dare be sorry. Look what you did.
What?
You found us.
That's right. You found us.
Honey, why do you think we stayed put here all these years? Because we believed one day you'd find us again.
Exactly.
But I thought you were gone. How did
we went into quarantine to look for you, but you weren't there.
Yeah, and we knew you must have gotten out through the pipes.
Through the pipes? That's right, sweetie, and so we did too. And we stayed in this spot for you ever since.
Because we thought you might come back. So every day we go out and lay out
shells.
And you found us. Oh, honey. You found us, and you know why you found us? Because you remembered. You remembered in your own amazing Dory way.
I did. All by myself.
Oh, honey, really? Have you been by yourself all these years?
My poor little girl.
Oh, I haven't been all by myself. Marlin and Nemo!
So what parable do you think that brought to my mind? The prodigal son, right? So the prodigal son is framed in Luke 15 with this great conversation Christ has with the religious people and their frustration with his engagement with other people. So here it is, Luke 15. I'm going to read the whole thing, 1 through 32. Tax collectors and sinners were all crowding around to listen to Jesus. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law of Moses started grumbling. This man is friendly with sinners. He even eats with them. Then Jesus told them this story. That's not right. Not that, okay. If any of you has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will you do? Why don't you leave the 99 in the field and go look for the lost sheep until you find it? And when you find it, you will be so glad that you will put it on your shoulder and carry it home. Then you will call on your friends and neighbors and say, "Let's celebrate. I found my lost sheep." Jesus said, in the same way, there is more happiness in heaven because of one sinner who turns to God than over 99 good people who don't need to. Jesus told the people another story. What will a woman do if she has 10 silver coins and loses one of them? Won't she light a lamp, sweep the floor, and look carefully until she finds it? Then she will call in her friends and neighbors and say, "Let's celebrate. I found the coin I lost." Jesus said, in the same way, God's angels are happy when even one person turns to him. Jesus also told them another story. Once a man had two sons. The younger son said to his father, "Give me my share of the property." So the father divided the property between his two sons. Not long after that, the younger son packed up everything he owned and left for a foreign country, where he wasted all his money in wild living. He had spent everything. When a bad famine spread through that whole land, soon he had nothing to eat. He went to work for a man in that country, and the man sent him out to take care of his pigs. He would have been glad to eat what the pigs were eating, but no one gave him a thing. Finally, he came to his senses and he said, "My father's workers have plenty to eat, and here I am starving to death. I will go to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against God in heaven and against you. I am no longer good enough to be called your son. Treat me like one of your workers.'" The younger son got up and started back to his father. But when he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt sorry for him. He ran to his son and hugged and kissed him. The son said, "Father, I've sinned against God in heaven and against you. I'm no longer good enough to be called your son." But his father said to the servants, "Hurry and bring the best clothes and put them on him. Give him a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. Get the best calf and prepare it so we can eat and celebrate. This son of mine was dead, but has now come back to life. He was lost and has now been found," and they began to celebrate. The older son had been out in the field, but when he came near to the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants over and asked, "What's going on here?" The servant answered, "Your brother has come home safe and sound, and your father ordered us to kill the best calf." The older brother got so angry that he would not even go into the house. His father came out and begged him to go in. But he said to his father, "For years I have worked for you like a slave and have always obeyed you. But you have never even given me a little goat so that I could give a dinner for my friends. This other son of yours wasted your money on prostitutes, and now that he has come home, you ordered the best calf to be killed for the feast." His father replied, "My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we should be glad and celebrate. Your brother was dead, but he is now alive. He was lost and has now been found." Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for that great gospel message. That as we gather together, Father, that your presence is here. And so, Father, we want to breathe deep of that presence. That it would be your words that are proclaimed and heard for your glory. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So this story, at its heart, is one of great contrast. You have the one son who walks away from everything that should have been important and quote-unquote holy in his life. See, for Jews, a basic commandment is what? Honor your father and your mother. And we typically use that on little kids, by the way. But really, the commandment is made for adults. It is a reminder that, especially in an agrarian society, as you get older, it's harder to work. Amen? Some of you know that feeling. And so if your children aren't there to take care of you, life can get really hard. And so that was the children's job. And yet this son takes his half of the property, sells it, moves to foreign land, and wastes it all on what we find out later are prostitutes and quote-unquote wild living. There's no attempt in Scripture to make this man look like anything less than a horrible, horrible child. There's no attempt to say, yeah, but there was some mental health issues going on. Jesus wanted the contrast to be extremely clear. He made it so clear that did you notice the type of animal he was stuck feeding? A pig. For Jews, to be feeding a pig was the lowest of lows. An unclean animal in an unclean land. This son was as far away from what we would call good as Christ could possibly make him. And then you can contrast that with the other son, right? He's the one that stayed and faithfully served his father. He's the one that followed the command, honor your father. He was now taking over the family business and running it well because they appear to have some wealth. Amen? So here's the faithful son spending years with his dad, making sure that as dad gets older, dad will be okay because of his faithfulness, his work, what he has done. This is the son that walked that straight and narrow path. This is the son when people ask you, what do you think about your boy? You say, oh, he's a good boy. I'm proud of him. And then the younger son comes to his senses and comes back home. There's a really interesting statement in the middle of Scripture because if you caught the scene, the son is still far off. And what does the dad do? He runs to him. How many of you want to start running at your age currently? And so there he is as an old man. And not just that, but for Jews, there is a very distinct kind of boundary of how you treat yourself. And if you're going to run in those clothing, what do you have to do? You got to hike it up. You got to expose your legs. You got to run out like that. And this father does it. He's not concerned with how he appears to the people around him. His love for this child that was lost is so profound. Does he even seem to care what the son is saying to him? Because as the son is trying to apologize, what's he doing? He's calling the servants. Get him clothes. Get him a ring. Kill the fatted calf. The joy in the father's heart is profound. Why? Because his love is far greater than the faults and failures of his son. Kind of irritated the other son, right? Any of you been the good kid? And when dad compliments the bad kid, there's at least a part of you that's singing, that's not fair. I've been good my whole life. See, from a worldly perspective, is the good son right? Yes, from a worldly perspective. But even in that situation, notice the father's love for him. Because the father could have stayed at the party, amen? But he doesn't. He goes out and now goes to the good son. And he reminds the good son of the love he has for the good son too. He says, everything I have is yours. I have given you things. But I'm going to rejoice, and you should rejoice too, because this brother of yours who was lost has now been found. And so the father's concern was not just one son versus the other. The father demonstrates his love for both of those children. And yet we miss that sometimes because we focus on our resentment over the joy of the lost one. How does this speak about Christ and culture? So the whole movie talks about Dory being lost. I think beyond a shadow of a doubt, you can look at society and recognize that people understand they are lost. That people have this profound realization that there should be something bigger in life and that they are missing it. This is a common theme all throughout cultural things. This realization that we are lost, and so what do? We grab a hold of people that share similar things. This is why we join clubs. This is why urban youth join gangs, because they're lost and they want to engage and belong to something. And if you're lost and you don't know where to go and there's nobody reaching out to you, how easy is it to be found? Not very easy, amen? And so we can look at these stories and we can engage our children, our grandchildren, and the people around us saying, I understand that we're lost because we are lost. And you know, there's this funny thing about life. Life has these constant changes, amen? Some of those changes are really tough. And in the midst of all those changes, I think people are desperate for some sense of stability. And where do you find stability? I think Scripture is going to say, in the midst of all these dramatic changes, there's only one place, in the midst of feeling lost, there's only one place that we can go to that is really, truly, genuinely steadfast. And so Scripture is going to say, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you get any more steadfast than that? See, my life has changed a lot over 45 years. But in the midst of all those changes, Christ has remained steadfast. I know my life will change a lot from here to the future, amen? But in the midst of all that, I have something to be steadfast. You know what I love about that scene? Did you catch what the parents did? They remained steadfast. When Dory was gone, instead of them deciding they would give up, if you caught the pan out at the end, they were lining up shells because she was aware to follow the shells. So they put shell pads in. Did you notice what direction they put shell pads in? Every direction. And their statement to her was, every day we would go look for you and we would extend this path, trusting that someday you would come home. We did not leave because we were going to be your steadfast rock. We were going to be the one you want to be, steadfast. In the midst of being lost, God is there steadfastly waiting for us. You know, I had a cool thing over the past couple weeks. One of our foster kids who I've not heard from a long time called me. And he says, you've had this same phone number forever. I said, absolutely. And every now and then someone says, you should change your phone number so it's more local to where you live at the time. And I said, I have 30 children that know this number. And you know what's funny about poor folk? They have to get new phones all the time. And so they lose their contacts. But they'll know how to get hold of me, amen? Because I want to be steadfast. So I keep that number to say to them, no matter where you are in life, you remember that number, you have an ally. You have somebody there for you. I love that statement in Dory. I love the parents doing that. And that really is the gospel message, that God's love pursues us. Think about that statement. How different it is to think God's love is standing here waiting for us to figure it out versus God's love pursues us. And so the man does not simply stand there and wait for the son to get to him. He runs out and pursues him. And the stories preceding it, what do the people do? They run out to pursue the lost sheep. They sweep to pursue the lost coin. Each one of those stories is a statement Christ is making to the scribes and the Pharisees that God's love is not just steadfast, but it pursues the people around us. That in the midst of us being lost, we don't have a God that just sits there and hopes we find our way home. We have a God that pursues and engages us. We have a God that loves us more than we can possibly imagine. And that's some great statements that Dory's parents share with her, right? Because she keeps wanting to apologize. And what do they keep saying? Don't apologize, because I love you. We did all this for you. So when people ask me if God can really love them, I say, no doubt. The story of the prodigal son is meant to say to anybody, I don't care how bad you've lived life, amen? When you turn to God, God pursues and runs after you. Sometimes, as the faithful good son, there's at least a little bit of jealousy in there for me. But I'm reminded that I'm so grateful that in my faults and failures, when I've turned to God, God has always pursued me. And so when it's all said and done, this is the joy we should have as a church. I sometimes feel like church thinks this is how we should operate. Well, people know where we are, amen? If they want to pursue God, you show up at 8 a.m. on Sunday morning, boom. That's how you pursue God. 10:30 as well if you like the crazier, louder service, right? But you come here, and I sit there and think, really, I want the church to say, it is our job to do what? To reach out there, to pursue them, to remind them that God loves them. This is a part of why the parking lot ministry was started years ago here at Ono, to say to the kids in this community that God loves you and wants to pursue you. This is why we do mission trips. This is why we do social events outside of the church, because it is all our effort to reach out in the community and say, God pursues you. It is a great and a beautiful message. It is a message that society desperately wants to hear, desperately wants to believe. They scream for it in so many of their movies and so many of their music and so many of their TV shows, and it's a message you can share with them. That no matter how far they have fallen or feel lost, God's love's pursuing them. That Jesus Christ is bigger than their faults, and that God wants to redeem and uplift them. Let's share that message with the people in our lives today and every day. Would you pray with me? Father, for the times in which I have been the good son, jealous of your love for others, Father, may I join you in rejoicing every time somebody who is lost is found. More than that, Father, help me, help us to be the ones that pursue others with your love and grace. Help us to be the ones that run out and embrace and hug them and say, we love you because Christ has set us free. Father, as we close in worship this morning, may your steadfast love uplift and encourage us, strengthen and guide us, so that we would be your faithful children, demonstrating your steadfast love that pursues people forever. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand and join us in singing the closing hymn, number 497, Near to the Heart of God. God's holy and beloved children, redeemed by his grace, go forward to serve him, and the God of love, the God of peace, and the God of joy goes with you always. Amen.
Our Father.